This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk here on WKAR AM 870. I am Matt Ludke sitting in the Iron Throne. I've got Alex Sharg in the booth. We have tons to talk about. The spring game for MSU football is fast approaching. It's just Saturday, and we had the player draft yesterday. We'll examine some of the more surprising picks from that draft and some news from Gary Harris regarding his NBA aspirations and whether or not he's going to put those off for at least another year. The NBA playoffs are set in stone. But I think first and foremost, we should take a look back at last night. And there was a game between the Boston Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, as a nation and Boston in particular, still in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombings. And it was a pretty special moment last night at the game for the national anthem. Now, Rene Rancourt came out to perform the national anthem, and I don't know, I'd say he got about three bars in, and then he sort of turned things over to the crowd. It's an incredibly powerful video. If you haven't had goosebumps in a few days, go ahead and find it on YouTube, and it's sure to do the job. Now, we actually have it queued up. Alex, if you wanna roll tape on that, just take a quick listen to last night's national anthem. So yeah, that's some pretty powerful stuff, courtesy of the Boston faithful. And you know, anytime you have a tragedy like this, one of the silver linings is seeing how the community responds. And certainly, a town as tight knit and you know as sports crazy as Boston, I mean, you knew they were going to bring it. In addition to things like that, the Bruins organization has donated over $250,000 to the One Fund Boston to help families affected by Monday's events. Players on both sides, the Sabres and the Bruins, were sporting decals saying Boston Strong on their helmets. You know, it's just, it's great to see stuff like this, you know, in the wake of a tragic event. People coming together and, you know, hand in hand and, you know, singing a song like that, you know, it's just a powerful moment and, you know, it gets you and, it's good to see and it's good to hear that they're, you know, at least moving on and just, taking a positive out of this, kind of strengthening their community. And, you know, again, a town as crazy as Boston, it's not like they needed any more, you know, fuel to, you know, spur their desire to see their teams win. I think, you know, this will bring the city even closer together than it already was. So, you know, hats off to an excellent national anthem. And again, go ahead and check that out on YouTube because it's pretty powerful stuff. So with that, we can move on to some breaking news. This is the second straight day we've had an NBA draft decision for a player from the state of Michigan. Yesterday it was Tim Hardaway deciding he was going pro. Today, a big smile, I'm popping a champagne bottle. Gary Harris decides to come back for his sophomore season. He's going to the draft can wait. The NBA can wait. And I, for one, am super excited that he'll be back. Callers, you can let us know. 517-355-9527. Toll free at 877-952-7870. And Alex, you look at the decision, and while Payne is still up in the air, Harris's decision certainly bolsters the outlook for next season. I mean, you know, he's one of our key players. He's freshman of the year. He has the potential to be Big Ten player of the year. What do you think his impact is, you know, in terms of what he can do for the team next season?
It's great. I mean, without Gary Harris, this layout of this team would be totally different. That Adrian Payne's leaving now. I mean, the funny thing about it is I believe that this Gary Harris decision was a shoo-in. I believe that no matter what, he was going to stay. But the surprising thing was Marcus Smart, you know, a very, very talented freshman, decided to stay as well. Yet Gary Harris still won freshman of the year. And Marcus Smart is a guy who, yes, is very talented, was slated to be probably a top 10 pick. Well, Gary Harris may not have been as high, but in Marcus Smart's case, that probably was the wrong decision.
Right, and that's what people are saying. And he was like top 3 pick, and he was a Big 12 freshman of the year as well. So, you know, you see there's, you know, a lot of guys coming back. It's great for college basketball at the very least. And, you know, when a guy goes and he's a top 3 pick and he comes back, people kind of are scratching their heads. But, you know, my hat's off to Marcus Smart for coming back. I think that's great. And I think Oklahoma State fans are certainly excited to see what they have next season. But as far as MSU goes, I think, like you said, I mean, it definitely makes more sense for him to come back. You know, he was projected as a top 10 pick on Chad Ford's draft board, but I think Chad Ford was really the only one who had him that high. And, you know, granted, he works for ESPN, so that's going to get pushed around a lot. But, you know, I don't think he was a consensus top 10 pick, especially with the injury trouble he had last year. I think if he can come back for another season, prove that he can stay healthy for an entire year, strengthen that shoulder again, you know, his shoulder problems and the back problems, I think, really hampered his effectiveness. And Izzo has said as much, that he's a much more explosive player. He's much more involved on the glass. And I think if he can come back and kind of improve in those areas, you know, more or less he was a dead-eye shooter this year. I mean, he was the one guy who could consistently knock him down, although Payne kind of got to that level as well. But if next year he comes in and he can add on to that a little more, you know, to the hoop kind of action in terms of, you know, off the dribble, beating guys off the dribble, you know, you pair that with an NBA ready jump shot, and that guy is a legit top 10 prospect. And, you know, as good as next year's draft class will be, I think if he comes back, I mean, he has a chance, a legitimate chance to win Big Ten Player of the Year. So if he does that, I think, you know, it only helps his stock. You know, he's a top 10 pick, a fringe lottery pick now. I think he can become a firm lottery pick with another season. And, you know, the sky's the limit for the kid and, you know, and the team as well. So, you know, I think it's the right decision. I'm excited for it. And, you know, yesterday we talked, maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. wasn't ready, but he's going. So you see, you know, there's two sides to the coin there. Some guys see it as an opportunity to go and prove themselves in the league, and other guys see, you know, maybe I need another year of seasoning. But I, for one, am certainly glad that Harris has decided to stay. You know, they definitely need him, because without him, who is that go-to shooter? I mean, you know, barring some amazing development from Russell Bird, I don't know if he would be the guy. You know, Kenny Kaminsky is talked about as an outside shooter, but you can never have enough, and especially when one is going to attract as much attention as Harris does, you know, I think it only bodes well for us, and it's not just on offense, because he's probably one of our best perimeter defenders as well, so we get another year of that. So, you know, I think our backcourt is set for next year with Appling, Harris, and, you know, Trice off the bench. I think they're set in the backcourt, and now the attention turns to Payne to see where he goes. You know, I've read that he's 50-50, which makes a lot of sense, because he could definitely be a high draft pick, and he could definitely prove himself in the league. But, you know, if he comes back, I think they are a legit national title contender. I think it would be Final Four or bust if Payne comes back as well. So, you know, happy to hear that Harris is coming back. Excited to see him in the green and white for at least one more season. And, you know, just happy, just smiles all around. I'm sure Izzo is beaming. And Anthony Iani, who broke the story the other day with a tweet. Turns out he was right. He did just jump the gun a little bit. So Ianni is redeemed, because if Harris had decided to go pro after that debacle, I think he'd be maybe deleting his Twitter account. So let us know what you think about Harris's return to the Spartans. 517-355-9527 or toll free at 877-952-7870. And, you know, Harris isn't the only guy who's cemented his status as a Spartan next season. Gavin Schilling, the recruit from Findlay, Nevada, has signed his letter of intent. He is a Spartan through and through. I'm excited to see him next season. And again, whether or not he gets redshirted is kind of dependent on Payne. There's a lot of things riding on Adrian Payne's decision, and Schilling's one of them. 6'9", 240-pound power forward. He's 17 years old. He grew up in Germany and France, and he speaks three languages. I mean, he's already got his little human interest story written for ESPN when they cover games. I always like players who can speak more than one language, and especially if they're 6'9 and 240 pounds. So welcome aboard to Gavin Schilling, and welcome back, Gary Harris. So good news for Spartan basketball. Now, Alex, you know, you look at the outlook next season with Harris coming back. What do you see as a potential ceiling for this team with Harris? And, you know, for discussion's sake, let's say Payne does not come back and it's just Harris who comes back. Where do you see the ceiling for this team?
Yeah, well, I think first off, the ceiling relies on who's going to replace Payne and Nix. And we'll have to see the development of Costello, the development of Ghana. And I think from there, then we could see what the real ceiling is for this team. Now, from the guard play, I think the ceiling is as high as ever. And with Gary Harris coming back with his experience now, I mean, there's no reason why this offense should not be as productive as it was.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I'd like to see is, and I think the entire Spartan faithful would like to see, is fewer turnovers. And I think if you have an experienced backcourt, that certainly helps. But we've seen before that, you know, front court players can turn it over just as much as back court players. And the front court players are sometimes more frustrating because they're not touching the ball as much. So, you know, I think you're right. And it depends on that development of a Costello and a Ghana and potentially a Schilling if Payne does decide to forego his senior season. So you look at those guys and how far they come along is going to make a big difference. And, you know, you've got Keith Appling, who I think can make post-entry passes in his sleep at this point. So I think as far as the big men, it's just going to be about getting position where they need to be, because I don't know if Matt Costello can get the same position that Derek Nix could. I don't know if anyone can. Derek Nix was pretty much, he just had position if he was there. So, you know, we'll see if Costello comes along. I think defensively he's already kind of there. You know, it's like two sides. Together, if you put Ghana and Costello together, that's a heck of a player. But right now, they're separate entities, and I think, you know, they're going to have to work on their games. You know, Ghana going to have to improve defensively because sometimes he looks a little lost, and Costello's going to have to get a little bit more aggressive on the offensive side. But, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, Sweet 16 is we've kind of taken it for granted because we've been there so many times. But I think, you know, if we don't at least get there, I think you can view the season as a failure. But, you know, regardless of if Payne comes back, I think they've got a shot at a Final Four. You know, you've got a lot of teams coming in with huge recruiting classes and whatnot. But, you know, we've seen Kentucky this year. It's not always a guarantee of success. So, you know, lots of decisions to be made anyway in terms of who's going pro or who's not. But I think, you know, anywhere from that Final Four to the Sweet 16, I think that is the sweet spot for this team. That's the goal. I hope they're aiming for a national title because, I mean, why wouldn't you? But, you know, if we get big improvements from a Costello, from a Ghana, from Dawson, who I'm really looking forward to getting a full offseason, you know, fully healthy, you know, I think the improvements of the individual players on this team, you know, it could be limitless. Like, we could see a big jump because, you know, Ghana and, or rather Dawson and Bird are finally getting off seasons where they're not hurt. And that makes a huge difference, especially in player development. You know, teams get better during the season, but players get better during the summer because they have time to work hard on certain aspects of their game. So I think, you know, if Dawson can develop a little bit of a jump shot, you know, I mean, we've seen guys like Jason Richardson do it where his freshman year he was just an athlete and then he came back for his sophomore season and he could hit shots from anywhere. So, you know, if guys can round out their games, develop a few more skills, I think we're potentially the team to beat in the Big Ten and certainly a Final Four contender. I think, you know, the sky's the limit for the Spartans next season. So that about wraps up our first segment. We'll take a quick break. Please stay tuned, and we'll be back with more sports talk here on WKAR AM 870.
I'm Celeste Headley. Every day brings fresh developments and interesting stories to tell. At Talk of the Nation, we look for the stories that matter to you. From international news to the latest campaign politics to the issues that touch your family, tune in to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
There's a tornado watch in effect until 6 p.m., and we have a flood watch through tomorrow morning. Today, windy with rain, thunderstorms, and possibly hail, the high 75. Windy with showers and thunderstorms tonight, the low 45. Rain Friday, maybe even some snow, the high 51. I'm Scott Pohl.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on WKAR AM 870. Matt Ludke, Alex Shark in the booth. Alex, you want to talk a little football? Let's talk a little Spartan football, all right?
Well, it's just about that time, April 20th, very close.
Oh, man, counting down the days. Saturday, 2 o'clock, spring game. And yesterday, the team held the draft for the green and white game, as it's known. And, you know, these, of course, there's a little bit of stuff to explain here, just because some of these names that come up as first picks in the draft you might be surprised by. But again, seniors are not available to be drafted. They're split up onto squads. They're predetermined. And the two captains this year were Max Bulla and Andrew Maxwell. And they go position by position in terms of draft. So they'll draft one guy, and then that entire position group gets, allocated before they move on to another spot. Some of the more surprising picks, the first overall pick, center Travis Jackson, and some people might be surprised by that, but at the same time, that center position and the offensive line in general, the depth is a little funky there. So, you know, that makes sense that Maxwell would go for the top rated center so far in the spring drills. So, you know, Jackson goes number one, Cody Keeler gets drafted number two, and then they sort of go from there. But I think that the biggest one that's surprising people, and this is a recent development in this spring practice, the first running back taken, Riley Bulla, the freshman, another Bulla who, you know, If we could have it our way, I think the entire team would just be Bullas because they're great players and, you know, a Spartan legacy for sure. He goes first of the running backs. And before you accuse Max of, nepotism here, picking his brother first of the running backs, you know, he was a quarterback in high school. He's 232 pounds. He's been getting reps. He's actually the same size as Le'Veon Bell, 6'2", 232. So, you know, maybe a little deja vu there for the Spartan defenders. He's, he's proven himself in practices. He's splitting time at middle linebacker. And last year, he was the scout team stand-in for Iowa's Mark Wiseman. So, you know, he's got a little bit of experience at running back. I guess he played running back as a freshman in high school. But, you know, anytime you look at the spring practice, I mean, you can't put too much stock into it. It's a lot like, you know, freaking out over an 0-5 start in, you know, spring training, or, you know, the Lions going 4-0 in the preseason. People got excited, but, you know, you can't put too much stock in it. But Alex, when you look at that running back breakdown, you know, Bulla, Langford, Hill, and Tompkins, does that worry you? You know, because to me, it might say that we don't really have a running back in place. And after Bell, that could be a huge problem.
Right. I'm not worried that they cannot perform because we'll have to wait and see in terms of matching up against what Le'Veon Bell provided. But am I worried based off experience? Yes. I mean, I think that any Spartan fan would be worried that you're not going to have Le'Veon Bell back.
Right. And, you know, the one good thing, obviously, that we've got three potential freshman running backs coming in, you know, a Gerald Holmes, an R.J. Shelton, and a Delton Williams, who was teammates with Damian Terry, who, you know, the super recruit that everybody's, you know, chomping at the bit to see. So, you know, you never know, one of those guys might break in and kind of insert themselves into the rotation. I certainly don't think we're going to see anybody carrying the ball 380 times like Bell did last year. You know, it's just not in the cards this season. it's going to be a running back by committee. D'Antonio has said as much, and I think I prefer it at least when we have at least two guys, you know, a little thunder and lightning. Let's get back to the, you know, the J.U. Kolkrick ringer days. Those are the glory days as far as running the ball for Spartan football. So you see Bulla, and, you know, he might be there to just inspire the other guys to pick up their play. He might be there because he's a legitimate prospect at running back. I'm intrigued to see it. I think either way, you know, him getting a chance to play a little offense, it's going to help him moving forward just from understanding concepts and that perspective. You know, even if he stays on defense, he has a greater understanding of what an offense is trying to do to beat a defense, so, you know, he can maybe counteract that. And, you know, we've already seen with his brother that they're quick learners and, you know, they're smart players. So hopefully this only helps Riley in terms of his future, either at middle linebacker or in the backfield on offense. So, you know, hats off to him and best of luck at the running back spot. Now, I mean, callers, let us know what you think. Do you think one of these guys on the roster currently is going to emerge, or one of these freshmen come in and start stealing carries? Because, you know, we've seen it before where freshmen do get some playing time at running back, whether it was a Bell or before that. I mean, Caper and Baker had pretty big freshman seasons back in 09. I mean, granted, we had some off-the-field stuff that kind of necessitated some of that, but still, I mean, D'Antonio has shown that he's not afraid to hand the ball over to a freshman running back, and, you know, we've got three intriguing prospects coming in addition to the guys already in place. So let us know what you think, 517-355-9527, toll-free at 877-952-7870. Now, some other interesting picks. Defensive end, Shalik Calhoun gets picked before Marcus Rush. He was followed by Joel Heath and Jamal Lyles. Now, I think this is kind of a good thing. This kind of is a little reassuring because, you know, we lose Golston off that defensive line. He was the big-name player. But if Calhoun can come in and already be regarded by his teammates possibly as one of our best defensive ends, I think that bodes well. He showed some serious production last year. He had a nice bowl game and some good pull practices. So I think he's definitely got the potential to be a starter and a very productive player. So excited to see Calhoun because we know Rush is a consistent force at the other defensive end spot. And he's going to make a few plays here and there, and he's always good in terms of the scheme. So, you know, I think that's an encouraging sign, if anything, that Calhoun goes first. Safeties, you know, we've heard a lot this spring about Demetrius Cox, the redshirt freshman, maybe coming in and stealing some playing time. But, you know, the safeties, 1-2 go Drummond and R.J. Williamson. So, you know, Curtis Drummond and R.J. Williamson, there you go. So, you know, you have Drummond and Williamson, the incumbent starters, kind of staying where they were in their spots. And, you know, you think, well, where's Isaiah Lewis? He was one of the many Spartans who was injured and was not selected. I have a list here. You know, guys like Darquez Denard, Denikos Allen, Dan France, Lewis again, Jack Allen, Skylar Berkland, you know, guys who just weren't able to go for the spring practice, so, you know, they weren't available to be drafted. That's why you're not seeing their names listed. But, you know, Drummond, Williamson, and Cox as your 1-2-3 with a Lewis, of course, in the fold, that's a pretty scary foursome at safety. So I think they are set there. You know, they've got all the depth you could ask for at the safety position. And, you know, one thing that D'Antonio has really done and done very well is you know, just developing a defensive backfield and getting things going as far as, you know, developing lockdown corners and strong safety play. And, you know, that happened in D'Antonio's tenure when he was an assistant here, and it's happened even more so now. So, you know, you see the production that they're putting up and the production of these young guys that they're anticipating, and it's an exciting time, especially with a defense that's been, you know, nationally elite for the last few seasons. So, you know, I think only bright things ahead for the secondary, and you know, I think they're going to have to carry the team again as far as the defense is concerned, and they look like they have the pieces in place to do it. The other very interesting, well, actually, there's two more pretty interesting position breakdowns here. Defensive tackle. Now, Tyler Hoover was a senior, so he was not available to be picked. But Lawrence Thomas, the one-time super recruit from Detroit, he was drafted number one. So, you know, you look at Lawrence Thomas, and he's kind of, you know, been thrown around from position to position. He played a little defensive end. He went over to offense and played fullback pretty admirably, you know, a big number eight running around there. So now he's back on defense, and he's in the trenches on that defensive line, and he goes above James Kittredge, who I actually thought had a pretty good season last year. I thought he was nice, you know, once he started getting that playing time, I thought he was very productive. So it's encouraging, I think, to see LT going first there. I think that only bodes well for his future, you know, his playing time coming up this season, and, you know, what he's going to be able to do in the future. I think it only time will tell, and I think it's just going to take a little time for him to maybe get used to that speed in the trenches and the strength in the trenches. But, you know, he's well on his way, and I think, you know, that's the position that people wanted him at ever since he started just going on this Hulk-like, you know, strength gain. So, you know, you see him, and he came in as a middle linebacker, and now he's playing defensive tackle. And if he can retain any of the explosiveness he showed as a linebacker prospect, you know, while being 40 pounds heavier, I think that's a pretty scary guy to have in the trenches on your D-line. And the last but not least, of course, after last season, the wide receivers. And the order there, now Benny Fowler, a senior, not available to be drafted. First pick was Keith Mumphrey. Aaron Burbridge, number two. Number three, this might be a little surprise, former walk-on A.J. Troop. Goes over guys like Tony Lippett. McGarrett Kings went sixth. Monty Medeiros went seventh. DeAnthony Arnett, who people have, you know, been clamoring over since he transferred from Tennessee, he goes eighth. So, you know, it looks like they have a lot of depth at the wide receiver spot, but it remains to be seen if it's quality depth. And when you see a guy like Troop make that kind of leap to the potentially that third slot as a wideout, you know, we've seen Blair White do it, so I have no problems with walk-ons kind of coming in and making a name for themselves and carving out some playing time. So, you know, as far as wide receivers are concerned, you know, whoever can catch the ball, especially after last season, I think we learned that the hard way. Hey, there's no guarantees with the passing game. So whoever goes, regardless of their high school accolades, you know, whoever earns that spot, you know, they're going to earn it, and hopefully they're going to make plays because of it. So, you know, let us know what you think of the position breakdowns, and, you know, who has what, and who you think is going to maybe emerge as, you know, the tops of the depth chart this fall. 517-355-9527 or toll free at 877-952-7870. So that's the green and white game. That is this Saturday at 2:00 in Spartan Stadium. You know, it's an interesting battle. Oh, here's one more position. I had too many notes to fit on one page. The quarterbacks. And, of course, Andrew Maxwell, senior, he was a captain, so it's not like he can pick himself. So he's off the board. But Connor Cook goes, and then Tyler O'Connor. So some people were saying maybe O'Connor can kind of move up on the ladder. So far, he's still number three, at least in the eyes of some of his teammates. So, you know, you've got the quarterback breakdown that everyone kind of saw coming. You know, people are hoping that somebody else maybe will take the mantle from Maxwell, but right now it looks like he's maybe established himself in that top line. And I think that comes to be expected. You know, he's a fifth-year senior. I think that should be expected, that he has maybe an upper hand, at least an experience. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that for sure, and we'll definitely keep an eye on the spring game, again, this Saturday, Spartan Stadium, 2 o'clock. So, you know, you've got a lot of different guys moving around and, you know, shuffling of maybe the depth chart here or there. But when you look at the offense and at least these wide receivers, Alex, who do you see as the guy to emerge from that group? Maybe one or two guys to emerge from that wide receiver group.
Yeah, I think all of them actually can definitely emerge. But from what I've been hearing from spring practices, from even the wide receivers coach, Terry Samuel, a lot of hype is on Monty. Just his physicality. He's going to go out there and compete and bang with defensive ends, bang out there with linebackers. He's not afraid to block anyone. I just think his tenacity, sitting out a year because of his injury, I think he's ready to go.
Yeah, that's a great point, and especially with the blocking, because you know, if there's one thing that I think that the wide receivers struggled with more than catching the ball last year, it was blocking for each other. You know, 2 years ago, Well, we could basically run an entire drive of quick screens to Keyshawn Martin because we had guys like Keith Nichol and BJ Cunningham who would get out on that corner and just drive him into the dirt. And last year it just seemed like, you know, whoever it was, I think I remember we threw a screen to Fowler or something, and you know, his guy, you know, his man couldn't block the corner. They ended up running into each other and Fowler fumbled. So it was just kind of like a play that used to just be our bread and butter. We kind of had to rip out of the playbook. And if you have a guy like Medeiros who can come in and prove himself as a blocker first, I think that goes a long way into carving out some playing time. You know, we need guys who can make plays down the field, not only for themselves, but for others. And if you have a guy who is a talented downfield blocker, I think you got to find a way to get him on the field, because you know, if there's one thing we really did miss, it was getting easy yards. And a play like that bubble screen was easy yards. I mean, granted, not everyone is Keyshawn Martin. I mean, there's a reason he, you know, had some nice moments for the Texans as a rookie. You know, he's a talented player. But, you know, if you can get even 5 or 6 yards out of a play like that, you know, that shortens the down and distance, that, you know, it shortens the amount of work you have to do later in a drive. And, you know, any easy yards you can get, I don't think we are in a position to take them for granted, especially after last season. So, you know, anything we can do to start moving the ball in easier and bigger chunks is a welcome addition to the playbook. So, yeah, I think I could also see Medeiros breaking through. I'm excited to see what Mumphrey can do. I think, you know, he was one of the guys who kind of started slow, but then as the season ran along, especially after that game against Ohio State, I think he can definitely emerge as kind of that possession receiver, that safety valve for Maxwell. So it'll be interesting to see where he can improve his game and make more plays out there. And obviously, you know, Burbridge, highly touted freshman last season, you know, battled some injuries, came in. He said he didn't really have a great understanding of the playbook, and he says that this year it's much better. And I'm hoping that goes across the board for all of our wide receivers, because it seemed like, you know, in addition to the drop passes and stuff, it was just kind of miscommunications between Maxwell and his receivers that sort of led to our downfall. You know, it only takes a little misunderstanding, and you know, you only have to be a half second late and a play that could be a touchdown turns into an interception. So, you know, it is the little things, and that's what they've been stressing all summer and all winter. So I think if the wide receivers can improve maybe their mental games in terms of knowing the playbook and knowing what to do in every situation, I think you know, you play faster that way and you play better that way. You find yourself making more plays. So I'm excited to see Mumphrey. I'm excited to see Burbridge, and I would like to see Troop maybe get some run out there. I always love hearing stories about walk-ons who carve out a niche on the team, and you know, he seems like a pretty talented prospect, and you know, more power to him if he can break into that rotation. So an interesting, lots of question marks at the wide receiver spot, and I would rather have these guys being underrated coming into the season as opposed to last year where they had, you know, pretty lofty goals, but they were mostly unproven. And, you know, I think once the struggles came about, I think, you know, the pressure from, you know, the media and the fans and everybody, I'm sure the pressure in the locker room was tremendous too, but, you know, once you go from having those big expectations and you kind of fall short, and it's tough to, you know, refocus and get that energy back. And I think, you know, things kind of snowballed for the wide receivers last year. Granted, they started coming along at the end, but I mean, you know, that first month of the season was pretty rough, to say the least. So I think if they can learn from last year and know that they constantly have to be working and improving, and that by no means are they finished products, I think they can come out and really surprise people and have a big season. And I think they're going to need to, because, you know, the aforementioned hole at running back, you know, a middle linebacker is, you know, getting reps at running back. So you got to figure that we might have to emphasize the passing game a little more. And anytime you lose a player like Le'Veon Bell, you're certainly going to have a lot of repairing to do and holes to fill. So we'll see what we can do in terms of the passing game this season. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see them back out on the field again. Definitely excited for the spring game. You know, it doesn't tell you much, but it's always good to see them, you know, flying around out on the field again. Good to see Spartan Stadium housing some activities. I'm excited. I think you should be too, Spartan Nation. I think we're due for a bounce back here. D'Antonio doesn't really have too many, you know, back to back mediocre, I guess, seasons. So I think we'll bounce back. Hopefully, we'll get to that 8 to 9 win range. So that about wraps up the second segment. We will we'll go to a quick break and stay tuned for more sports talk here on WKAR AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, Sebastian Younger talks about his HBO documentary on war photographer Tim Hetherington. They collaborated on the documentary Restrepo about an American military outpost in Afghanistan. After they attended the Oscars in 2011 as nominees for their film, Hetherington went to Libya, where he was killed by mortar shrapnel. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. There's a tornado watch in effect until 6 p.m., and we have a flood watch through tomorrow morning. Today will be windy with rain, thunderstorms, and maybe hail, the high 75. Tonight, windy, rain and thunderstorms, a low of 45. Tomorrow, rain likely and maybe some snow, the high 51.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here at WKAR AM 870. I'm Matt Ludke. Got Alex Shark in the booth. Oh, we are going to change gears yet again and move over to the hardwood. Now, before we get going on these NBA playoffs, which are now set and ready to go, of course, the NBA had its final night last night. Let's talk about MSU basketball a little bit more. Now, I mentioned that Gavin Schilling had signed that letter of intent, came in. He is a Spartan. Now, there are some other prospects who have kind of come to the fore, so to speak, of our recruiting efforts both this year and next year. Now, you know, the looming decisions from Harris, although now that's been decided he's staying, and Adrian Payne has kind of opened up the door for maybe adding another prospect for this class. And one of the guys whose name is being kicked around is Alvin Ellis. Now, he is a 6'4 shooting guard from Chicago. He was formerly committed to Minnesota to go play for Tubby Smith, but after that coaching regime change, Richard Pitino since being hired, he decommitted and he's back on the market. And according to Rivals.com, it's between Michigan State and Missouri. There's a couple of other schools in the running, depending on what site you look at. So, you know, it's anybody's ballgame at this point. But in terms of adding another wing, I think you can never have enough. And, you know, when you look at, I mean, the MSU team from 2005, it seemed like we had 7 or 8 shooting guards, but they were all needed, and it helped us kind of plan a game, you know, get a game plan going in terms of full court attack. And, you know, when we can get that transition game going and have guys coming off the bench, you know, who don't lose a step from the starters, it seems like those are the kind of teams that can really go far in the tournament. And those are the kind of teams that Izzo likes to coach because, you know, he loves to get up and down. We've always heard, you know, him saying whenever we go against a team that can run, well, you know, we like to run too. It's just we play in the Big Ten and teams slow us down. So, you know, I think adding another wing, never a bad thing. And, you know, whether or not they really push for him with Harris coming back next season remains to be seen. But maybe he's a nice kind of a contingency plan. You know, Harris, you know, he was on the fence already after his freshman year. So who knows what happens after next year? You know, maybe he would be a guy, Ellis here, who could kind of come in, maybe learn the position for a season from Harris, and then maybe take the mantle going forward. And you know, after Kearney had transferred this season, I think that kind of hurt our depth in the backcourt. You know, we have Trice, and Valentine, of course, is coming along, and he's a super exciting prospect. But, you know, I think adding another wing never hurts, and I would not be opposed to it. But at the same time, Izzo definitely has his sights set on some of the top prospects for 2014, and one of those is Jahlil Okafor, who is a center from Chicago. We've scheduled an in-home visit, we, of course, being Michigan State. He's also looking at Ohio State, Duke, Kansas, and Baylor. Now, he was actually named to the USA Today All-American High School team, the All-USA basketball team for high school boys. And, you know, he's the only junior on the list. Jabari Parker, who, of course, we nearly had coming to MSU. He went to Duke instead. Aaron Harrison, one of the 800 recruits that Kentucky is getting for next season. Julius Randle, another one of the 100 recruits that Kentucky's getting. And then Andrew Wiggins, who is the top prospect, and he might be another one of those guys to go to Kentucky, but that remains to be seen. So, you know, if you have a guy who can crack that list as a junior in high school, that's pretty promising. He's 6'10", 270 pounds. If you really were worried about Costello and Ghana, maybe the year after this one, you might not have to, because if he's coming in, he's going to certainly push for minutes and maybe start right off the bat. So, you know, the future is bright for MSU basketball. And, you know, it's not just Okafor they're going after. They're going after a guy named Cliff Alexander. He's also from Chicago. And Tyus Jones, a point guard from Minnesota. And, you know, the exciting thing there is that Okafor and Jones apparently have known each other since they were 8. And, you know, they've said on multiple occasions that they'd like to play together. And Michigan State is one of a handful of teams who has interest from both of them. So, you know, if we were able to kind of pull that coup off and, you know, reel in all of, or, you know, even two of those guys would be great. So, you know, big fish going after for 2014. And, you know, we saw the Parker sweepstakes not go in our favor, but I think the work that Izzo has put in the Chicago area will start to pay some dividends here going forward. And I think, you know, if we do end up landing an Okafor or an Alexander or maybe even an Alvin Ellis this year, I think that maybe takes the sting out of that Parker decision. You know, that was, he was a big time recruit. He would have been, you know, one of the biggest that we've had here. So, you know, missing out on him certainly stung, but I think, you know, we can assuage that painful feeling if we land an Okafor or an Alexander. So, you know, I know I trust in Izzo. I'm sure he's doing all he can to, you know, show these guys what Michigan State's all about. And, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't want to come play for him. And I think, if anything, the Payne and Nix combo would show a big man duo of potentially an Alexander or an Okafor that, you know, it can work here. We can go big and we can win games here. So, you know, I think that was a promising sign potentially in their recruitment. So we'll keep tabs on that. And I'm sure it'll be reported everywhere once decisions are made by any of those players. So, looking forward to an interesting recruiting season, because, you know, we took a lot of heat for not having anybody for a while there. Schilling finally came around, and now we're back in business. So hopefully 2014 will be a bit smoother of a season as far as recruiting for the men's basketball team. Let us know what you think, 517-355-9527, or toll free at 877-952-7870. Alex, the NBA season is in the books. The playoffs are set. Who you got? Is it Miami OKC in the finals?
Well, I've got the Pistons dropping their game, their final game, the Brooklyn Nets. First off, that was not the sight to see. But you
know
what?
Have the Pistons,
this is going
been
to come
a
down
sight
to New York,
to see?
Miami. Now that LA has had their injury to Kobe, it's really if Carmelo can really lead his team.
New York and Miami, eh? Now, that would be that's the 1-2 in the Eastern Conference. And in regards to the Pistons, have they been watchable for, you know, a majority of the
season?
I have
not been tuning in as much as I used to.
Yeah,
but,
I think.
Yeah, as far as the Eastern Conference, I definitely think it's going to be a Miami and New York battle. In the West, now that's a conference that's wide open. I mean, you've seen a lot of teams show what they can do so far this year. The Lakers, with their late comeback, I don't know, but San Antonio's that number one. I don't know about their odds of even making it to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, that San Antonio-LA matchup in round one. You know, there's potential for the rest of the Lakers to rally around the Kobe injury and maybe shock the world and win a series, but I think there's no way they advance any farther than the second round, and I really don't think they're going to beat San Antonio. I mean, if there's one team that is, you know, so rigid in what they do, and, you know, a bunch of professionals, and, you know, they understand the system, and they're going to play disciplined basketball, I think it's San Antonio. So I don't see them losing to the Lakers. I think there's a lot of interesting matchups in the Western Conference. You have Oklahoma City versus James Harden and the Houston Rockets. Now, Sam Presti, the GM for the Thunder, he must be having a lot of sleepless nights because, you know, this was the guy he traded away a few days before the season started, and now he's leading his first opponent in the playoffs. So, you know, Oklahoma City won the season series 3-1, but in that fourth game, James Harden had, I believe he had a line of 46, 7 rebounds and 6 assists in a 3-point win for the Rockets. So, you know, they can definitely put up points and they can definitely hang with OKC if the Thunder lose a little focus here. While I think Oklahoma City will win, I think it's just going to be really fun to watch those three guys, Westbrook, Durant, and Harden, go against each other after so many years of being together. And, you know, Harden coming off the bench in Oklahoma City for so long, now he's emerged as a legitimate star. And I think it's going to be fun to watch that series and see how many games Houston can maybe steal from the Thunder. And then you move on to the 4-5. You've got the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Memphis Grizzlies. It seems like they go 7 games every time they play, including last season.
The National Weather Service in Detroit, Pontiac has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Genesee County in southeast Michigan, Livingston County in southeast Michigan, Western Oakland County in southeast Michigan, until 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 1:46 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a line of severe thunderstorms was located along a line extending from Flint to Pinckney and moving east at 60 miles per hour. Hazard: 60 miles per hour wind gusts. Source: radar indicated. Impact: expect damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Severe thunderstorms will be near Genesee and Thetford Township around 1:55 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Otisville and New Hudson around 2:00 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Wixom and Walled Lake around 2:05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Wolverine Lake around 2:10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The warning includes areas surrounding these locations: Oak Grove, Whitmore Lake, Swartz Creek, South Lyon, Pinckney, Otisville, Novi, Mount Morris, Milford, Linden, Howell, Holly, Heartland, Hamburg, Grand Blanc, Goodrich, Gaines, Flushing, Flint, Fenton, Davison, COHOCDAH, Burton, Brighton. Precautionary preparedness actions. A tornado watch remains in effect for the warned area. Tornadoes can develop quickly from severe thunderstorms. Although one is not immediately likely, if a tornado is spotted, act quickly and move to a place of safety inside a sturdy structure.
Okay, sorry about that, folks. It was our new robot weatherman who just could not wait to let you know about what's going on with this storm, which apparently is very serious. So, you know, in all seriousness, that was the EAS weather alert. You know, thunderstorm warnings rolling through. So, you know, batten down the hatches, so to speak. And you know, it's definitely going to be coming down later today. But back to the sports news before, of course, the robot interrupted me. We have the Clippers and Memphis. The Clippers of Los Angeles and the Memphis Grizzlies, they've gone to 7 games, it seems like, every season, so I would not be surprised if that one goes the distance as well. You have a fun series with Denver and Golden State. Maybe get to tune in, see Draymond Green get some playoff basketball under his belt. And Denver can definitely put up points. That one, you know, that might be 120 to 119 games, like, the whole series. So if you're going purely on entertainment value, that one might not be one to overlook. Over in the East, things are a little bit more clear-cut. You've got Miami, who's, you know, obviously the top dog. They're going against Milwaukee, who plays them well and gives them good games. But, you know, obviously the Heat are the heavy favorite there. Brooklyn and Chicago in the 4-5 matchup. Chicago, of course, ended Miami's streak, so a potential second-round matchup there. And who knows if Derrick Rose will surprise everyone and come back for the playoffs. The 3-6 matchup is Indiana and Atlanta. And Indiana plays incredibly tough defense, and Atlanta, I think, is, you know, fading. I think they're on their way out. They were actually, I don't want to say throwing games, but they certainly weren't putting their best guys out on the floor these last few weeks, just trying to avoid Miami. Alex, you got some news here. Go ahead.
Yeah, breaking news update. The Detroit Pistons, after their 54-94 two seasons under Lawrence Frank, has ended. Lawrence Frank officially let go as Pistons head coach, according to Mark Stein.
Wow. There you go. Thank you for that. Breaking news. So Lawrence Frank is out. Who knows who they're going to look at hiring? I mean, Joe Dumars is potentially on the hot seat, though, you know, who knows if Tom Gores will decide to let him go as well. But Lawrence Frank, his tenure is over. So maybe those Rutgers, rumors weren't too far-fetched. Granted, Eddie Jordan did just get hired by Rutgers, so, you know, he can't get that job. But it'll be interesting to see where he lands, if anywhere, or right away. And, it'll be very interesting to see what direction the Pistons go in terms of a new coach. And, you know, certainly they needed it, 4 years out of the playoffs, the last two under Frank, they definitely seem like they regressed this season. You know, they had a very promising end to the year last year. Looked like maybe they were starting to get it, so to speak. Maybe, things were starting to click. And unfortunately, those kind of fell apart this season, whether it was injuries or what have you. They just weren't a very talented team. And then they didn't get a lot of production. But, like I said the other day, if quotes are saying the entire team didn't have the energy, that kind of falls on the coach. You got to get more out of your players, because in the NBA, any team is talented enough to beat any other team that they play. It's just that effort, if you can bring it consistently, and it didn't seem like they did this year. So, best of luck to Lawrence Frank in his future endeavors. And again, very interested to see who the Pistons hire, what kind of move they make. Phil Jackson has been itching for a comeback. And while we don't have a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant, it'd be a pretty interesting story if Phil Jackson came to the Pistons. I don't know if we have the personalities or the market to attract a guy like that, or really the finances to hire him. But, his name is going to be floated out there, and I think every team they'll put him on their wish list, because, why wouldn't you? He's arguably the best coach of all time. So we'll see. Thank you for that news break, Alex. Good to hear that the Pistons are moving forward, making some moves, and trying to improve for the future seasons. Now, back to the playoff race, or the playoffs themselves, rather. Indiana, Atlanta at the 3-6, and then you have New York and Boston at the 2-7 matchup. Now, New York was 3-1 in the season series. Of course, this is the Honey Nut Cheerios feud is going to be revived here in this playoff series. You've got Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Garnett. They, of course, had that spat earlier in the year, and with Carmelo waiting outside at the team bus to just talk, that's it, to Kevin Garnett. So we'll see if that maybe flares up again in the playoffs. And, the Knicks are rolling, and Boston's certainly struggling right now. But, maybe the horrific events at the marathon kind of spur a newfound energy. And, Doc Rivers has had many quotes, describing how amazed he is at the response from the city of Boston and the sense of togetherness that this has maybe created. So I would not want to play Boston in a series, and especially if you're the Knicks, who have been, famously tortured by Boston in the past, especially a one Paul Pierce, who of course is still out there for the Celtics. So, you look at that series, I think the Knicks will win, but it certainly could be closer than maybe the experts think. As far as, who's going to win the title, I think your odds have to favor Miami. Defending champs, they sort of figured things out in the playoffs last year, and they only rode that out this season. A 27-game win streak doesn't come around very often. In fact, it's only happened once before. So I think they're the heavy favorite, and I think it'll be a Miami-Oklahoma City series, and from there, who knows? It could go either way. So that about wraps up our show. Thank you so much for joining us. Alex Shard producing in the booth. I'm Matt Luckey. Be sure to join us tomorrow at 105. You've been listening to WKAR East Lansing AM 870. Go have yourself a safe and pleasant evening. Avoid the rain as best you can, and I'll hear from you tomorrow. Have a great one.
From NPR.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.